Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'd like you to pick a time in your life, pick a number, a time in your life, make it a big number, a number of years ago in your life. Olivia is not here this morning, but if she were, she's not feeling well, she might pick a number like 14 months. Some of us will pick a number maybe in the 30s or 40s. Some of us might pick a number much higher in the 90s. As Shirley Jesberg came into church this morning, she shared with me that she's 96. So, and not doing too bad for 96. And so pick a number many years ago. Make it a big number. And then think about where you thought you'd be today. Would you be sitting in Sun City at Church of the Palms on a beautiful Sunday morning? What a blessing. What a blessing. Our first reading this morning is very short, and it is the theme verse for this stewardship season. God calls Abraham to wait for it. To trust. To trust him even though everything familiar and go on to leave everything familiar and go on to a new place. He then makes a bold promise to him. Listen to the words of God for you. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. That ends the reading.
This is a letter from Paul to the early church at Ephesians. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul writes, and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayer. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is hope, to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and all power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading. Let us give thanks to God for his holy word.
Well, well. Let us pray. O God, who is ever doing more than we can, even in our wildest imaginings, imagine, we know you are at work in us in this moment, and we wait for you, touch us as only you can by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. I'm still stuck on John's question about a certain number of years ago. Would you ever have imagined you being in this spot at this time? And absolutely not. Really is astonishing which leads wonderfully into this morning's scriptures and a few thoughts I'd like to share with you about Thanksgiving / stewardship / clergy recognition / ministry recognition. Any more slashes? That passage from Genesis, which is the basis for this year's theme, and by now you've seen that logo in several places, although perhaps not as many as we originally intended. There are giving cards available out in the narthex, as John mentioned. It's a great passage. We had it a few weeks ago as part of the lectionary, this call of Abraham to follow God. And according to the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther and some other assorted great thinkers along the journey of life, the whole Bible story spins on this moment when Abraham trusts God enough to go to a new place. Not trust God enough to believe in this set of ideas, not trusts God enough to belong to a certain type of church, trusts God enough to go to a new place. And so the question it poses to us is, are we ready to go to a new place? What do you think? Are we? The new place isn't always geographic. Sometimes it is, but not always. We are, if truth be told, always moving to new places, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But sometimes that becomes clearer than others, and I suspect this is one of those times. So what do you think? Are we ready to move to a new place? And that passage in Ephesians suggests, in the midst of all of that flowery Greek that Paul uses, so difficult to translate into English, but there's that one little piece there where Paul tells the Ephesians that the power unleashed when they use their gifts to bless others, the power that is unleashed in them is the same power God used to raise Jesus from death. Whoa. Whoa. Let me say that again. The power that is unleashed when they use their blessings to bless others is the same power God used to raise Jesus from death. And if it's true for the Ephesians, it's true for us as well. You thought Easter was about the body of Jesus coming out of the tomb, and isn't that great because now we all have a shot at getting to heaven? That's just the beginning of the story. The real story of Easter is this one. That power is the power that gets unleashed in us when we use our gifts to bless others. Nothing less than that. And if that doesn't move you to think that you might be headed for a new place, I don't know what will. It certainly does for me. So I'd like to talk with you about three little vignettes. The first starts at noontime tomorrow. We're having our first ever, in my experience here, prayer vigil. Now I'm a little embarrassed that in the 17 plus years I've been here, we've never done this. How has that happened? I don't know. I have no explanation for it, but we're going to do it now. And if you remember my little stewardship message a couple of weeks ago, I said that one of the things I treasure are the firsts that still come along in life. So here is one. Starting at noon tomorrow, in 30-minute segments, people have signed up for most of that period of prayer vigil. There are still some slots left, and yes, this is a clever little advertisement. I would like to have all of those slots filled up because this matters. Prayer matters. If there's one particular way in which that resurrection power gets unleashed in lives, it is with prayer. And this particular church has proven to be an Olympic-size prayer palace. Just exactly why that is, I'm not sure. I would never have guessed that coming in 17 years ago, but it is the truth. And so for 24 hours, somebody around the clock, and if there are those empty slots, it will be me. So spare me. No, it will be me anyway. Praying for this congregation, for its leaders, for its incoming interim minister, Jim Meadows, and you got to see his picture. If you were here before the service, you'll read about him in the palm leaf. For me, for everything that's in your heart and mind concerning the church and beyond the church. But if you sign up for one of those periods of time or when you are praying at other points, don't think you have to be yakking the whole time, inside or outside. Try listening. Try just sitting quietly and seeing where your spirit takes you. Maybe those images that crop up, those thoughts that pass through, maybe those are the things God would love to spend some time with you about. It works for me almost always. There is a greater power here in the midst of our praying than we have any idea of. And I could spend all of those 24 hours giving you testimony after testimony after testimony. Not everybody gets healed in the way they want. Not everybody's life is made perfect in the way that they wished. But in every single case, the power of resurrection gets unleashed in them and in us. And that matters. Stewardship is about time, and the prayer vigil isn't one opportunity to offer a gift of time. Well, while you're praying, pray for the nominating committee, would you? They're at work right now, and that's never a really wonderful task. Well, I take that back. It's never an easy task. It's always a wonderful task. But as the church faces the interim period, it can be particularly challenging. Now, nominating committees do what nominating committees do, which is nominate people to fill slots in the church's structure. But we tend to run in the same rivers. We nominate the people we know. We're apt to nominate the people that we think are likely to say yes. You may be sitting there filled with some gift given to you by nothing less than the Spirit of God, looking for an opportunity to express that, but you might not know anybody on the nominating committee, and they might never, ever get to you. Well, you get to them. Do it in prayer. Do it by note. Do it by conversation. Call the office. Be insistent. Refuse to be ignored. One particular way that you might want to think about serving that the nominating committee will not be addressing has to do with our office volunteers. We just happen to have come through a period of time when we have lost some critical office volunteers. When I say critical, I don't mean they criticize. Although they've done a fair measure of that. Thank you very much. Critical in the sense that they come in and they do the work that otherwise would take the rest of us from other important ministry things. So if that's something that tickles your fancy a little bit, let us know. We'd love to talk with you about that. Stewardship is about our talents and abilities, and offering yourself to the nominating committee or in the office or in some other way is a terrific way to unleash the power of resurrection and new life. And yes, there is the matter of our giving cards. When members come into our church life and we meet with them for an orientation, and there is one of those coming up, and if you'd like to be in that final group of 2014 and the final group of My Active Ministry, we would love to have you come into the membership of this congregation. But when I gather with that group, we give them a packet, and in that packet is a giving card, an intended giving card. We used to call them pledge cards, and John called it a pledge card. If I'd had a paint gun, I would have taken care of that right there. But I left it back there. It's not a pledge card. It used to be a pledge card. It's an intended giving card. And I tell the people coming into membership, it is a document of practical theology. It's a chance for you to be a theologian in the most profound way possible. It's a chance for you to sit down and assess the financial gifts that God has placed within you. And some of us have enormous financial gifts with which we are blessed. And some of us have much more meager financial gifts. But we have them. And that card is a chance for us to sit down and wrestle with God about what we will do. I have been wrestling with that because, as you know, I'm about to be one of those on a fixed income. Truth be told, I've been on a fixed income for a while, actually, but I've just been pretending that I wasn't. It's a profound moment, and there is no more theological a document in your life than your checkbook. Jesus thought so, although they didn't have checkbooks in those days. The Bible as a whole thinks so. It's not the whole story of stewardship, to be sure, but it's one that really matters. And if we're going to be on the topic of unleashing the power of the resurrection, there is no more profound way. Notice I haven't talked about the budget of the church. That's a separate item completely. What I decide to do with that theological document of my life is not, in my mind, related to the budget. The church will use the gifts, most of them, toward the budget. It will bless a whole lot of people through that budget, but I don't give to a budget. I give in thanksgiving for the blessings that have been entrusted to me. And they have been many and profound, and I'm looking at some of the greatest of them this very moment. So yes, stewardship involves treasure as well. A little bit later in this service, we're going to recognize Palm's clergy. And I was astonished to find out in seeing this list compiled that there are 17 of them at the moment. 17 pests buzzing around Judy and I like gnats. No, not so. Not so. Not one of them. One of them lies very ill today in the hospice facility just down the road. Harold would be here if he were physically able to be here. Ruth and Mark are here this morning. I am grateful for every single one of those 17 because they have enriched us. And there are two others who have left this life, but their relatives are here. And Marcia and Bonnie, we honor them as well. But we're not just recognizing clergy, we're recognizing ministries, all the ministries, your ministries, equally important, perhaps even more important. Why? Because there is a world desperately hungry for the power of resurrection, and you, brothers and sisters, have proven to be a powerful, powerful fountain for just that. Why? Because you use your gifts to bless others. And may it ever be so. Onward. Amen.